Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to another session of our program, Let Us Reflect. We have a very famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam to share with you today. And when I start relating that particular narration, many of you will recognize it. It has many inspiring and motivating, interesting topics within it. What is that hadith and what will be mentioned? I will reveal all, insha'Allah, after relating a narration which expresses the excellence of sending salawat, peace and blessings in favor of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has said that as long as a Muslim sends blessings upon me, the angels keep sending mercy upon him. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. So if we express a supplication of blessing for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send mercy, bestow mercy upon us. Now it's our decision, or it's our choice, as similar narrations mentioned, it's the choice of the individual if he decides to express this supplication less or more. And when we do this, we attain mercy from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the angels, the innocent, sinless angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sending blessings in favor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is one of the many expressions of love and reverence for him sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. It's a means of purification for us. It's a means of strengthening our bond with our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Following on from this point, I would like to mention a very famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, which I referred to in the beginning of today's session. It is reported by Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. I will go through the text of the hadith and the translation as we go along. Please try to be attentive and focus, reflect upon the matters revealed and mentioned in this particular hadith narration. عن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال بينما نحن جلوس عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات يوم. سيدنا عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه, he reports that he says that we were sitting in the company of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم one day. So once we were just sitting in the company of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. What happened after that? He continues. إذ طلع علينا رجل شديد بياد الثياب شديد سواد الشعر لا يرى عليه أثر السفر ولا يعرفه منا أحد. He says that suddenly a man came, or who had who was wearing exceedingly white clothing. So his clothing was very white, and his hair was extremely black, meaning a very dark tone of black. He mentioned that he didn't have, there were no visible signs of travel in him. So you couldn't see, looking at him, you couldn't see that he had traveled a long way, or he was a traveler. There was no such sign apparent in his clothing, in his appearance. And he also mentioned that none of us knew him. So this strange, or this unfamiliar individual, came while Sayyidina Umar and other companions were sitting in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, wearing this exceedingly white attire, and he had very dark, a dark tone, black hair, extremely black hair. No sign of travel was visible in him, or apparent from his clothing or from his appearance, and he was not known to any of them. حتى جلس إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأسند ركبتيه إلى ركبتيه ووضع كفيه على فخذيه. سيدنا عمر says, this unfamiliar man, he sat near the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. His knees were close to the knees of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, and he placed his hands on his thighs. وقال يا محمد أخبرني عن الإسلام. This man, he addressed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam saying, O Muhammad, tell me about Islam. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الإسلام أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتصوم رمضان وتحج البيت إن استطعت إليه سبيلا. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam answered the question of this man by saying that Islam is to testify that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam is the Messenger of Allah, and to establish the prayer, to give zakat, to fast in Ramadan, and to perform Hajj if one is able to do so. So this was the answer our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam gave him in response to his comment about, or his request about, when he said, tell me about Islam.
قال صدقت فأجبنا له يسأله ويصدقه.
Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, this man, he responded by saying, you have spoken the truth. So he said, we were surprised by the fact that he's asking the question and he's affirming the answer. He's confirming the truthfulness of the answer, which was something strange. When a person asks about something, it's usually because he doesn't know. But this seemed to be a person who not only asked a question, he actually confirmed. This was obviously a strange response, which Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is highlighting here, that this man, not only did he say to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you've spoken the truth, he himself was the one who was asking, was requesting this information, and then for him to actually affirm it himself, this was obviously a strange thing for the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum.
قال فأخبرني عن الإيمان.
The man then said, tell me about Iman. So again, this is his second query or his second request in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. This time he is asking about Iman, or he wants to know more about Iman.
قال أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره.
The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam then said, to believe in Allah and His angels and His books and His messengers and the last day, meaning the day of judgment, and to believe in destiny, good and bad. This was the meaning of Iman.
قَالَ صَدَقْتَ.
Again, this unfamiliar individual, he said, you have spoken the truth. So again, he requested information regarding something, and he himself is the one who says that the truth has been spoken.
قَالَ فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِحْسَانِ.
Then this man, he asked, he said, tell me about Ihsan, meaning what is Ihsan.
قال أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you see Him, and if you do not see Him, then He sees you, meaning that one worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with such devotion that it is as if he sees Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no doubt if this ever was the condition, then one would express the utmost reverence and worship in the best possible way. And if he's obviously not able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this realization that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees him. So this was the answer to the query about Ihsan.
قَالَ فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ السَّاعَةِ.
Then this individual asked about the hour. He said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, tell me about the hour. And what we mean by this is the day of judgment. That's the one of the expressions used for the day of judgment.
قال ما المسؤول عنها بيعلم من السائل.
The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, the one who is being asked does not know more than the one who is asking.
قَالَ فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنْ عَمَارَاتِهَا.
This individual then said, tell me about its signs.
قَالَ أَنْ تَلِدَ الْأَمَةُ رَبَّتَهَا وَأَنْ تَرَى الْحُفَّاتَ الْأُرَاتَ الْعَالَةَ رِعَاءَ الشَّاءِ يَتَطَاوَلُونَ فِي الْبُنْيَانِ.
The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam answered him by saying, when a slave girl or a maid servant will give birth to her master, and when you will see barefooted, naked, poor shepherds vying and competing in building tall, lofty buildings.
ثُمَّ انْتَلَقَ فَلَبِسْتُ مَلِيَّ ثُمَّ قَالَ يَا عُمَرْ أَتَدْرِي مَنِ السَّائِلِ.
Sayyidina Umar reports that after this, he left. So this was the last query of this unfamiliar individual, and he left. And Sayyidina Umar says, I stayed for a while. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, O Umar, do you know the question?
Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, قُلْتُ,
he reports, I said,
اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ.
Allah and His Messenger know best.
قَالَ فَإِنَّهُ جِبْرِيلُ.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, he was the angel, the archangel, Jibril alayhi salam.
أَتَاكُمْ يُعَلِّمُكُمْ دِينُكُمْ.
He came to teach you your religion. The hadith that was mentioned is famously known as the hadith of Jibril. The unfamiliar individual who came was obviously, as revealed towards the end of the narration, none other than Sayyiduna Jibril, the archangel, Sayyiduna Jibril alayhi salam himself. And he came to so that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum become aware of some important points regarding Islam and some important lessons regarding Islam, Ihsan, Iman, and also some information regarding the end of times or the some of the signs towards or near the end of times or the Day of Judgment. There are many points that we can expound on from this narration. In the time that we have, we will try to cover some important points, highlight some important lessons, and clarify some important points related to this particular hadith tradition. The first point that I would like to share with you, or clarification I would like to share with you, is taken from the words of the great Mujaddid Imam, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul rahman. And the point is this, that it is not permissible to call the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam by his name. So it is not permissible to say Ya Muhammad. Why isn't it permissible to do so? You may be thinking, well, that expression was used in the hadith tradition itself. Inshallah, we will answer these questions with the words the great Imam has quoted in his explanation. He mentions first, he cites the famous verse of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا تجعلوا دعاء الرسول بينكم كدعاء بعضكم بعضا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly declared this in the Quran, that you do not call the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam the way you call one another. So the Messenger is not to be called the way people call one another. This is a clear instruction, command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when people call each other, they do so in a carefree way, and they say the name of the individual. So for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, this command was specified that when you address him, you do not call out to him, you do not call out to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam the way you call one another. So the way you might say Ya Umar, or you might say Ya Zayd, Ya Amr, you can't address the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in this manner. And reiterating this point, the great Imam, he quotes the great Mufassir, the great commentator of the Quran among the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Yes, you may have guessed which name, Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. He says, كانوا يقولون يا محمد يا أبا القاسم فنهاهم الله عن ذلك إعظاما لنبيه صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم فقالوا يا نبي الله يا رسول الله. Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he clarifies that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam used to be called or addressed in this manner, Ya Muhammad, Ya Abul Qasim. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited this. Prohibited this, meaning this manner of calling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam or addressing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Why? He gives the reason: due to the honor expressed or the reverence for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So it was a point of honor and respect, reverence given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited the previous manner of addressing him. And from thereafter, when he was addressed, with the expressions Ya Rasulallah and Ya Nabiyallah. So the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they changed their manner of addressing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam when this command reached them. So this is a very clear instruction for us to mention the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam with his prophetic attributes or with the titles that befit him, not by name. So this is not a negation of saying Ya Rasulallah. We say Ya Rasulallah, we say Ya Nabiyallah, but it is prohibited to say Ya Muhammad, based upon this verse of the Quran and the opinion of the Sahaba or the action of the Sahaba, that in this case, the great Mufassir companion himself has revealed that due to the honor granted to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited the action of addressing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam with his name or kuniya. The Imam also mentions Imam Bayhaqi, Imam Alqama, Imam Aswad, Hafiz Abu Nu'aym, Sayyiduna Hassan Basri, Sayyiduna Sa'id bin Jubayr. He mentions about them that they are narrators of the opinion, لا تقولوا يا محمد ولكن قولوا يا رسول الله يا نبي الله. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, do not say, referring to the verse of the Quran, do not say Ya Muhammad. Rather, say Ya Rasulallah, Ya Nabiyallah. So what is understood from the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly expressed that you do not call the Prophet the way you call and address one another, he is not to be called by his name, he is to be addressed with the prophetic titles attributed to him, or his the description given to him as the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, or the prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. This manner of addressing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is extended to any dua which has such an expression. So the famous hadith in Ibn Majah, where the expression of the hadith is, Ya Muhammad, inni tawajjahtu bika ila Rabbi. So when, as a supplication, this is repeated, these scholars have actually clarified, instead of Ya Muhammad, here, Ya Rasulallah or Ya Nabiyallah should be said. So it should, this expression should be replaced, even though, despite the fact that in supplication, it's important to be as close to the original instructed supplication, as close to that as possible. But for this particular expression, it is to be replaced with something like Ya Rasulallah or Ya Nabiyallah. So this in itself, and when we consider the manner in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses or mentions our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam in the Quran, if you consider in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not address the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam with the words Ya Muhammad. You will hear him being described with terms of Muddathir and Muzzammil. And if his name is mentioned, then an attribute related to him is mentioned thereafter. So where you have expressions of Ya Musa, Ya Isa, Ya Ibrahim, you do not have that same manner of address for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And this is the point that these scholars make, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Creator, if He chooses not to have this manner of address for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and He, with all His majesty and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite being the Creator of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, he chooses not to address his beloved Prophet in this way, then who are normal people to even consider ignoring a very clear instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran and the explanation of the scholars that we do not address the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam by mentioning him by name, we mention his attributes. So instead of Ya Muhammad, Ya Rasulallah, Ya Nabiyallah, or other such expressions. A question which may come to mind is this, that why did Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam address the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam in such a way? In the hadith of Jibreel, he mentioned him or addressed him by name. So if this was prohibited or not permissible, then why did Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam address the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam by saying Ya Muhammad? The answer to this, Mulla Ali Qari alayhi rahmah, he mentions two answers. He says, it's possible that this was before the verse of the Quran was revealed, where it became clear that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam is not to be called upon or addressed or called out to the way people call each other or address one another. Or it could be because the command was for the humankind, and Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam is obviously an angel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So both of these answers are cited by Mulla Ali Qari alayhi rahmah. Angels were mentioned in the hadith tradition, and it's important to have the correct beliefs regarding angels. So angels are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bodies of light. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the ability to change shape or form. They can take the form of other things or people. And they are bound by divine command. They will never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it's through forgetfulness, because disobedience can take place through forgetfulness or through mistake or deliberately on purpose. None of this applies to the angels. The angels are the ma'soom, the sinless creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is impossible for them to sin. It is impossible for them to go against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iblis was not an angel, he was a jinn. Remember also, it's a necessity to believe in the angels. If someone says that angels are the power of good or some kind of angelic spirit, the angelic element is a spiritual element, there's no reality related to this, then this is considered to be disbelief. We believe in the actual the creation of angels, that they exist. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them various tasks to perform, many of them performing different acts of worship. Remember, the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not eternal. They are not qadim. Whoever believes this, this would also be an act of disbelief. The angels are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a time when they did not exist, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them into existence. Angels are neither male nor female, so gender does not apply to angels. And remember, any kind of disrespect expressed for an angel is disbelief, it's kufr. When people die, sometimes people say unacceptable things about the angel of death. Na'udhu billah, Allah forbid, they'll say things like, he came to the wrong person. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Statements like this, any disrespect of an angel is blasphemous, it's disbelief, it incurs kufr. You have to be very careful when you talk about this innocent, sinless creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The expression messengers was used. Remember, messengers, the word messenger or the expression description Rasul is not confined to humans. Angels can be referred to as Rasul. But a Nabi, a prophet, is a human being. A human being who is granted divine revelation receives a revelation of prophethood. If anyone other than a prophet claims to receive divine revelation or the revelation of prophethood, this is an act of disbelief. This is kufr. Only a prophet will receive the revelation of prophethood. A prophet of Allah is a noble soul chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a male human being who is given this divine revelation of prophethood. And the prophets are the best in creation. In terms of intelligence, they are the most complete. In terms of character, they are the most perfect in character. No one considers himself an equal to a prophet. Some expressions that are quoted in the Quran, like "Ma antum illa basharun mithluna," you are but a human like us. If you consider the context, or you consider who said things like this, it was in the past, it was the hypocrites or the disbelievers who addressed prophets with such words, that you're just humans like us. They are humans, but they are not like us. We are not even the dust under their feet. And this is not just an expression that we express out of humility. The rank of the prophets, the greatness of the prophets, the excellence granted to the prophets is something which is unmatched in terms of the other creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No saintly figure, no religious personality can ever attain a rank of prophethood. And prophethood cannot be attained through personal efforts or working continuously or worshipping continuously. Prophethood is granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyone who believes that they may attain prophethood through their personal effort, this itself is disbelief. There is no such concept. Prophethood is granted to the noble, chosen creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no set number for the prophets alayhim wasalam. So the best way to describe belief in the prophets is to say that we believe in all the prophets sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This way there is no danger of saying something which may incur disbelief. The prophets alayhim wasalam related news of the unseen. And a very simple point to understand, where there are people who find it difficult to understand, it's a very simple concept. The prophets, what do they do? Or what did they do? They related prophecies. They related information about future events or unseen events. This is, in essence, what a prophet does. So to say that a prophet does not have knowledge of the unseen, it's almost a contradiction to the description. So a prophet is one who relates news of the unseen. A prophet is one who is granted this knowledge of the unseen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So verses of the Quran which may mention that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge of the unseen, this refers to personal knowledge. So knowledge of the unseen which is personal, zati, it only belongs to Allah. Only Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses from His creation whomsoever He wills, and He grants them knowledge of the unseen. So the prophets have this knowledge which has been granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one is equating here. No one is saying the knowledge of the prophets is like the knowledge of Allah. We have made it very clear that whatever the prophets relate, it is due to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted this knowledge to them. No one granted Allah this knowledge. This is the personal knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very simple, if we understand this simple concept, it will save many of us from any confusion, where, if ever confusion occurs. Another important point to keep in mind is that in the hadith expression, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who is being asked does not know more than the one who is asking. When he was questioned about the hour, the day of judgment, this does not negate the fact, or this does not prove that the Prophet ﷺ did not know. At that particular stage, or in that moment, it only is evidence of the fact that the Messenger of Allah ﷺ was as aware as Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam. So if the expression, so it wasn't an expression, the answer wasn't this, that I do not know. The Prophet ﷺ simply answered in his eloquent manner that the level of understanding or insight that the questioner has, my insight is not more than that. Meaning, as much as you know, I know. And then the following question was about its signs. If the Prophet ﷺ did not know about the Day of Judgment, did not know about the signs of the hour, then he would not have related those signs. So the fact that our Prophet ﷺ after that mentioned some of the signs of the hour, the day of judgment, reiterates the point that it was a case of not a negation of the fact that he knew, but it was more a case of an expression of humility. And then the Prophet ﷺ confirmed the fact that he was aware of the signs of the hour when he mentioned some of those signs. We can go a lot further than that. Our beloved Prophet ﷺ not only knew about or knows about the signs of the hour, he knows about, he has knowledge from the beginning of creation to the end. And this is something which is proven or established through sound prophetic traditions. Yes, and finally, towards the end, I want to share with you some of those narrations. I won't go through all of them, I will just refer to them. Narrations which express the knowledge of our Prophet ﷺ related to events of the past, and present in terms of his time, and also future events. In fact, events beyond the Day of Judgment. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu has reported the famous hadith where he mentions that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam spoke about the beginning of creation until the people of paradise reached their places or their stations, and the people of hell reached their location. And he mentions that whosoever remembered, and whosoever forgot. So this hadith in Bukhari is a clear indication of the fact that our Prophet ﷺ related everything in the history of creation until the final outcome of the people to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. This was a prophetic miracle of his. This was the knowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him. A hadith with a similar theme mentioned in Muslim, our Prophet ﷺ related all the events and accounts until the Day of Judgment to the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And the reporting companion says that the greatest scholar amongst us was the one who remembered most of what the Prophet ﷺ had related. So this narration as well, it reiterates this point that our Prophet ﷺ was granted this knowledge of future events of the past, and what was happening in his time. In one particular hadith, he actually addressed the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum and said, the famous hadith in Bukhari where he urged the companions to ask him. He said, "Ask me." And one companion actually asked him about his father. He said, and the Prophet ﷺ confirmed his biological father. He said, "Yes, he is your father." A person asked the Prophet ﷺ about his abode, and the Prophet said, "He's in the fire." So the scholars of the Ahlul Sunnah have written about this topic. It is something which is established, and is something which is part of our beliefs in the Ahlul Sunnah, that the Prophets of Allah, they have knowledge of the unseen. So we hope that the themes that were mentioned in the famous hadith of Jibreel are reminders, means of inspiration, means of encouragement for all of us. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we reflect upon the prophetic traditions, we reflect upon matters of religion, we reflect upon matters of this world and the hereafter, to become and remain focused and steadfast in our obedience or adherence to the Quran and Sunnah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our sincere efforts. Ameen bi jahin nabiyil ameen. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah, let us all reflect.